Blog Talk Radio.
Blessings and greetings. Greetings and blessings, blessed souls, every one of you endowed and blessed and anointed with a Tzelem Elohim, a divine image, which is discussed in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. I'm happy to share with all of you, blessed souls. This is Soul Class number 167, Reasoning for the Nations, Part 3. Soul being an acronym for S, 7, O, oldest, U, universal, L, laws, 7 Noahide commandments. And pertinent to the discussion of the 7 Noahide commandments, Shevet B'nai Noach, we will continue to from reading from Elisheva Bar's Torah for Gentiles, Messianic Implications of the B'nai Noach Laws. Now, if you're going to hear the archive version, you're able to click on two links where you can learn more about Elisheva Bar's position in relation to the Seven Mitzvahs. And also, there's a link where you can actually read the book. Elisheva has done a great tzedakah for not only the Noahide nations, Kol Bo Olam, but also for the Jewish people, that we shall all engage in this international cyberspace dialogue founded well in time, soul, and space. So let's continue now with this humble effort on my part, Don Zussi Goodman, your cyberspace Torah activist. And let's take into consideration, blessed souls, that the 7 Noahide commandments are connected to a prophetic teaching from Navi Hagula, the prophet of redemption, Yeshayahu Isaiah, chapter 45, verse 18, that the world was created to be a settled place. And in order for the world to be a settled place where human beings are living, there needs to be social harmony and order. Now, part and parcel of establishing social harmony and order, laws throughout the ages, devised by sages and sometimes less than sages, have constructed laws that we call human laws. Now, these human laws implied that each citizen of the society he or she lived in would and were asked to adopt the ideals his society or his or her society were built on, and if needs be, at time, the individual in any particular society, him or her, were required to renounce his or her individual aspirations for the general good of that society. Now, hopefully, when that was done historically, that it was for the general good of society, which was aiming in a good and positive direction. But unfortunately, in the travails of human history, we've seen that when societal goals are unhealthy, that compelled citizens to engage in unhealthy activities. However, if the individual is willing to renounce him or his or her individual aspirations for the sake of the general good, and we're not talking about taking extreme measures, but that was needed for the moment in order to empower the general good. And we're talking about real good, tangible good, not theoretical good. So doing so, he or her will gain the advantages of recognition and support from the establishment for his living or her living according to the accepted norms, and hopefully those norms are healthy. Such laws, human laws we're discussing, are concerned with each person's well-being and interest only, and that will be useful for the nation, which is the larger, which is the umbrella for the individual mini-societies or microcosmic societies as part of that larger nation state. And in this context, if there needs to be exacted punishment for criminals, this is serving as a protection for the whole society or the nation at large. Now, man-made laws created ad hoc according to the needs of the moment and the changing aspirations that motivate them, unfortunately, as we have seen historically, are not usually designed to eradicate crime, but to circumscribe and discourage it. And paradoxically, Elie Shiva brings this very pungent, very tangible, real consequence when laws were created to eradicate crime, not to eradicate crime, but to circumscribe it and discourage it. It gives a very brilliant example that laws created by human beings sometimes are the source of generating even more crime. And she gives an example. For instance, she doesn't name which drug, but she cites that drugs that can cost as little as 5 cents over the pharmacist's counter cost $50 after anti-narcotic laws have taken effect. Now, what did this, what chained out of this drug, which would normally cost 5 cents if it was an over-the-counter drug, then becoming $50. This promoted a system that encourages pushers, enriches state coffers, and spreads evils that destroy society. And I just want to add a parenthetical thought, blessed souls, that I once heard I saw that a teaching from the Lubavitcher Rebbe, that jails are not according to Torah teaching. Sometimes a person has to be taken into custody as they await trial. But the jail system, in lieu of, say, proper education for society, is not the solution to our problems. And unfortunately, it seems that at times it's for the benefit of the few at the expense of the many. However, now Elie Shiva shifted to the ideas of what if we take upon ourselves taking on the prescription, the spiritual and legal prescription of divine law, which dictates moral standards for the personal growth and perfection of every individual as the basic fabric of the society governed by it. Meaning, human law can dictate moral standards for the benefit of society, but it could lead to the individual to renounce their individual aspirations, as we saw in communism. Many people were forced, or in fascism, many people were forced to give up their personal aspirations for the good of the state, which was not really for the good of the many. But when we talk about a divine law, the basic fabric of the healthy society is that there should be personal growth and perfection. Let me just say perfection/elevation of every individual. So in turn, the goodness acquired by abiding to its commandments benefits the whole society. We're talking about divine commandments. So in this system, the punishment for any transgression not only serves as a deterrent, it also provides atonement for the transgressor himself or herself. For the main message is that to be transmitted to perpetrator of crime and those who are witnessing the execution of the justice, that, quote, there is a judge and there is justice. And it is placed upon our hands, our responsibility as human beings, bearers of divine image, that when people are violating the sense of social justice, economic justice, the balance between man and man, or man and woman, woman and man, etc., etc., when it's not in balance, we need to seek correction, and the Torah provides those prescriptions via the divine teachings, the divine law that Torah has to have for us to access. In this system, Elie Shiva continues, the idea of what is good, just and honest, quote, derives from the legislation. It does not lead, it derives from the legislation, and it does not lead the legislation. And from there, Elie Shiva had quoted Lord Emanuel Jacobowitz about medical ethics in Medicine and Jewish Law, Volume 1. So Elie Shiva points out to us that in this sense, the Torah, to live a lifestyle of Torah, is a freedom movement. It is the revolution. It is the spring, fall, winter, and summer movement that all peoples subconsciously are seeking. As the sages of Israel have taught, quote, don't read the tablets were engraved, as it was written in Exodus 32:16, but rather the tablets spell out freedom. And so engraving in Hebrew is similar to the word in Hebrew for chirut. So chirut, I believe, means to engrave. Chirut, I know, means freedom. Bnei chorim. En ben chorin el misha osek b'torah. There is no free man, for their sake woman, who is free except for those who engage in Torah, to engage in teachings to unshackle the human mind from normative human perceptions that it can only be human law, but actually it can be divine law and elevating our human consciousness, which can go either way, positive or negative. And by understanding that from the Torah came to free up the peoples to become critical thinkers, we can critically expand our freedom to remove from the human family condition slavery. We can free up the human family condition from indoctrination into ideologies which promote death, hunger, destruction of the environment. And through Torah instruction, we can assist people unshackle themselves from their addictions, whether it be intellectual, spiritual, or emotional. In their generality, the B'nai Noach obligations are the same for the nation of Israel. I want to read that again, blessed souls. In their generality, the B'nai Noach obligations are the same for Israel, and they are an integral part of Torah. And Eli Shiva brings out a very brilliant point here in footnote 8, that this fact is hinted to in the Ten Commandments, which are spelled out, if you read it in the Hebrew, the Ten Commandments, Aseret HaDibrot, 620 letters in Exodus, Sefer Shemot, of which one could say that the 613 stand for all the commandments, which you can learn more about, blessed souls, by going to the Sefer Mitzvot, the Book of Commandments, written by Rambam, Rabbi Moshe ben Maimon. So you have 613, but there were 620 letters which constitute the Ten Commandments. The additional seven letters, Elisheva suggests to us, they are standing separately for the seven B'nai Noach laws. So there's 613 particular commandments interfacing, engaging in a healthy symbiotic relationship with the seven Noahide commandments. So again, we'll say it one more time. In their generality, the B'nai Noach obligations are the same for Israel, and they're an integral part of the Torah. So they cannot be adopted without an acceptance that the Torah, the instruction of the Most High, is binding. For the nation of Israel, for the Jewish people, it is binding by covenant. And for the blessed nations of the world, it is a binding by choice. A choice that I'm happy to report to all of you, blessed souls, will be fulfillment of prophetic teachings from King David, Na'im Zmeret Yisrael, Psalms 117, verse 1, all the nations praise the Lord, all the peoples glorify His name. So that, going further, if we assume, even for a short moment of theoretical heresy, Elisheva bravely suggests, what Moses compiled, that Moses compiled the Torah of his own, in parentheses, supremely brilliant intelligence, it is not illogical to say that he previously took existing laws, such as the King Hammurabi Codes, which are well known for those who are aware of them, as a model which adopted them into Torah law. However, Elisheva retorted, when a government decrees new laws, it makes use of existing codes and institutions not only to win over the hearts and minds of its people or to gain their consent, without which no law is feasible, but also because it is impossible to totally change what people have been used to. And all of us well understand what that teaching is informing us of. Building on established norms, even if they will be given new form, ensures a smooth transition that will make the success of the new government. Overlooking the fact causes the failure of short-lived revolutions, as we have seen recently as well, and historically as well. Kings and governments do not extend their rule by creating an entirely new system precisely because a nation cannot sever from its origins. So ancient laws and mores serve as a model and are integrated into the canon of the newer nation. In case of people with different origins, it will not cut from fails to assimilate. It is placed apart in reserves and ghettos, if not simply eliminated. So too, the legal tradition of ancient times found its way into Torah law and testifies to the even the earlier covenants than those ancient legal traditions, say like the Hammurabi Code, which were actually extractions and recapitulations of the covenants made with original man, Adam Arishon, Adam, and Noah Ich Tzadik, Noah the righteous one. So verse 2 says, let us be blessed, hopefully to reunite next week, in time, soul, and space, as I hope to continue to read from page 4 of the introduction to Elie Shevardnadze's Torah for Gentiles, Messianic Implications for the B'nai Noah Laws. And I just want to conclude with one further morsel. Blessed souls, I saw this over the past Blessed Shabbat in a teaching that was recapitulated, paraphrased by Rabbi Tzvi Freeman from his book, Bringing Heaven Down to Earth. He took a teaching from the Rebbe, which advised, if you, blessed soul, are able to see the divine image in others, this will enable you to truly experience a revelation of the divine image within yourself. Ahav echad, one love, goel echad, one destiny for all of us, ukulano, v'darchi noam, in a pleasant way, udarchi shalom, in a peaceful way. To be continued, blessed souls, and let's pray for the unity of the human family according to Torah instruction. Take care.